My name is Marek Tuszyński, and I'm from Tactical Technology Collective from Amsterdam, as was said. So because I'm the last, I will try to make a short presentation of who we are, and it's going to be very light and maybe even entertaining. But then the next part is going to be really serious. And first thing I would like to say is that I'm really glad to be here among people like Ethan Joris and Samir, people from whom we learn a lot, people who are really working and trying hard to break the digital divide in the countries who are in need. So we are a very small organization based in Amsterdam, in Netherlands. However, we are very small. We believe that the impact is bigger than our size, and definitely our ambitions are huge. So we were established last year, so we are active for a year and a half so far. However, all of the members of the collective, they have extremely wide and long experience working in developing countries. I'm going to show you some things in the first part of the presentation. I tell you who we are first, because almost all the collective is here in this room. I believe that you will like to talk to us later, and I'm the worst person to talk to, because I'm not very friendly, actually. But you can meet here Thomas Krag and Wojtek Bogusz, who are working with us for the collective. They're sitting in the second row, seats number 4 and 5, I believe. We also work with Stefanie Hanke, who is one of the founders of the Tactical Tech, and with I believe with I have here also Candida. She's sitting also in the second row, first seat. That's her. So please talk to them. And talking about the geographical scope and first, where we work. We are based in Amsterdam, but we do not work in Western Europe. So basically we work here. So mostly we work in Central Asia and Caucasus, which is here. And in Africa, mostly in we started to work in Southern Africa. We had extensive work with Joris working in Namibia, and now we're preparing our activities in Ghana and Western Africa, and we started to cooperate with some organizations in Northern Africa. I'd like to use this map because it is reflecting at least my personal approach to certain things that are for granted, like who actually agreed that South is on the top of the map. North is on the top of the map. I mean, it's different here. It's South is on the top of the map. We also we started to work. So our experience and history is mostly based within the former Soviet part of Europe. I'm myself from Poland, and other colleagues are from different countries. So what do we do? Actually, I should show you something else first. We just had the board meeting here 2 days ago, and somebody said, because we basically are involved in about 46 different projects, that we are like a jellyfish that is growing everywhere. And we took the picture of that jellyfish, and we're growing basically in those directions. Yeah. So let me tell you some more serious things right now. The areas that we are involved in, you can say they are local grassroots technology, demystifying technology and information as a tool. So what that means in practice is that local grassroots technology, basically what we try to do, we try to strengthen or establish groups of local base experts, advisors for civil society organizations that can help those organizations implement ICT. And of course, among all the different phases of ICT, we are talking about free and open source software, and I will try to reflect to that mostly in my second part of the presentation. And to that group of projects, we also can add all the summer source and source events, which are basically events that are bringing together implementers that are working with civil society organizations and developers and activists of civil society, where they can share their skills and learn from each other how actually the best implement technology. Demystifying technology, there's a set of tools and materials. We try to work with different people and help them organize work around preparation of different tools and materials. On one hand, we organize different meetings of people who are specialized in certain areas. On the other hand, we help fundraise for money to write certain manuals and training materials. And information is a tool. We basically came from the from a situation that we were working with basic use of technology, where organizations are using technology as basically as a typewriter, database, etc. And we're moving toward using information and also technology in more strategic ways, where people can use technology for advocacy, for monitoring, and things like that. And you know already the geographic scope of our work. So in practice, what that means? I will also show you some more pictures. So in practice, we do organize events, and I think I will talk a bit more about those events. And I will also focus on all the lessons that we learn over time. So events are basically large-scale events that we try to bring together from about 60 to 100 people, and they happen in a developing context, where we try to bring people from the country. So far we had events in Croatia. That was kind of experimental phase, but we are testing if actually there's a certain value in bringing together geeks and civil society activists. And actually the outcome was really impressive, and we decided to continue this approach. And many people who were in Croatia that time, they are our partners now, and we working on other events in Central Asia, in India, and in Africa in the second part of the year. There's another picture from another event that we did together with. That was from Africa, and this is Summer Source. And in all of the pictures, you can see people like Gunner, who is in the room, like Katrin, who are working for Aspiration. So I'm just trying to refer that actually you're working with a certain circle of people, and we know each other, basically. And another type of activities we do is the mappings and meetings. So somebody just asked, who is Onopubo? This is Onopubo. This one. We organized a meeting about wireless technologies, and we brought together people from different countries that are trying to show how you can implement wireless for community networks. And an outcome of that meeting is that this group is working on the training materials for people who are trying to implement wireless technologies in different regions in different context. And so usually our meetings look like that. And the next thing we do is, as I said at the beginning, we try to build community of intermediaries in developing countries. And so far we have around 15 projects trying to promote e-rider model, which is basically locally based rowing consultants for civil society organizations. And what's different between other approaches and that approach is that those people are working on long term with certain number of organizations, help them to go through the whole process of implementation, from needs assessment through implementation, maintenance, and then trying to set up sustainability of those projects. We also do manuals, and we work with Thomas on a manual on localization, where we try to bring together all the experiences, how to do localization of free and open source software, which is meant to be a guide for funders and guide for implementers who are trying to localize software for certain needs. We work also on other guides like how to choose operating system, etc. Another thing we do is NGO in a box, which is also outcome of the summer source in Croatia. This is the very NGO in a box, which looks here like a TV set box, but the size is of CD, which basically includes number of CDs with different distributions of Linux, and there's also live CD, there's a certain standalone software, and in each case where we go and we do event, each box looks differently and consists of different software. And in Africa we had a African distributions of Linux, and we had a meeting in Brazil recently where we had distributions in Spanish and Portuguese, and each time we try to modify this box. And another thing, the last thing we do is that we try to advise donors how to actually build local capacities and work with open source and civil society. So what's our characteristic? We try to be focused, first of all, on implementation. So this booklet is wrong, because it says that we bring international experts to local context. We don't do this. We actually do the very opposite thing. However, in many cases, we try to bring experts from other countries, like Joris. You were working with Cale Johnson from Canada. Because in some contexts you can't find experts to do something, because there's no capacity, local capacity. But in many cases there's a lot of capacity, and what we try to do is actually to grow this capacity by Skillshare and this kind of approach to implementation. And another thing, which is we try to be focused on local resources and local expertise. That means, if I say that we do certain projects, certain workshops, etc., we don't do them by ourselves. Usually we work with local partners, which are local technology providers and implementers, and they have adequate expertise and recognition of the local context, which we certainly, we don't have this. And we are conscious of that disability of ours. However, what we bring to that context is that because we work in different contexts, in different continents, we can bring people from similar situations, and by sharing these experiences, we add value to those meetings. And what we try to do also, and when we try to describe our role, I would say in one word that this is a role of being a catalyst, basically. And another aspect of our focus that I can say about is focus on regional specifics. So when you work in Africa and open source, for example, you have to be aware of that basically open source is circulating around education and around small businesses. So we have here Joris and Ethan, who can, I think, prove that. While in Latin America context, I think you can talk about open source and community centers and telecenters, etc. So in each case, we have completely different contexts. And we try also to bring their civil society organizations. And then the next characteristic I would like to underline is that we try to focus on sharing of skills, experiences, and practices, and I already underlined that a few times. And the same is about focus on local capacity building by local resources. I don't think I should explain that further. So here we go to the most exciting part of this presentation, I think. What we've learned over time. I would say that I can divide in that into two categories. And the list is very long, but I'm going to say just about a few things. So there are few general lessons that we learned. So first one is that I turned the general lessons into kind of questions, and I tried to make them kind of provocative as well. So actually, I would like to say something else that I think is important before that. It's about the aspect that we work with, that we try to focus on implementation, because even during this conference, there is a lot going on around policy discussions, and there's a lot of going on around geeks who are discussing different projects that they can do, etc. But if you look at the development of open and free software on the ground, there's not much going on concerning implementation. So what we basically try to do is to try implement open source in different contexts in free software. And I think that also characterizes us. So lessons learned. The first one was that actually being from the north, being from the Europe, surprisingly enough, is that you have to convince people that free and open source software has certain values, and it's not another crap hardware and software that is cheap and or even free, that is just basically dumped into the developing countries. And at least I wasn't aware of that that fear. And secondly, that the religious-like approach to the free software that says you should only use free software doesn't work in that context. However, I may even personally wear GNU t-shirt and believe in that. It's because when you try to implement free and open software, you face several challenges, which are basically, you can summarize them in a way that you have to work in a hybrid situation where you have variety of software, you have variety of hardware, you have variety of experiences, so people know how to use certain applications and they just know that basically, where to click, etc. So there's a huge responsibility on those who try to implement, especially free and open source software, because this is a very, very, very general assumption that people will be happy to have free software. This assumption is absolutely not true, because you have to be responsible for implementing and then managing the change, and bringing free and open source. For in many cases, it's a huge and dramatic change for people. And the last general lesson learned is that what actually happened when you try to teach people how to deploy free and open source software is exactly that the hybrid situation is what you have to talk about, and you have to be very practical. You have to show people actually that they can reconnect everything they had before to the new operating system, which is in practice there are different devices, but there are also different things they used to do before, and they want to continue them. So that basically different habits. So you have to be also culturally aware. And the last set of lessons learned are more specific. And I think I will finish. And so a few of them. I can talk about the NGO in a box lesson, localization issues, distributions, and mapping exercises, and actually how we choose projects and places. So talking about NGO in a box, sometimes very, very simple solution, which is just a set of CDs which consist of something like you can download in this room in 4 or 5 minutes, maybe the most effective solution ever. So, NGO in a box is just a set of CDs with software you can have, but the But the difference, which is very useful for people in developing countries, is that when you live in Africa, like Namibia, the whole speed of the country of access to internet is lower than in my place in Amsterdam, basically. So to download a distribution, you need like 14 days or something like that, if there are like seven CDs, basically. So giving people hard copies of those things and trying to build local hubs who are able download this software and then distribute locally is very important. And what's important about that project is that this basic set of applications and CDs was peer-reviewed by similar people from different contexts, so there's no need for doing research and spend time on finding certain solutions that you're looking for. And then I could talk more about it, but I don't really have time now, I think. And localization issues. This is a much more complicated issue, because localization, I think, is one of the biggest benefits of free and open source software, where you would like to have tools in your own language that are appropriate to your own culture. But this part of my speech will be maybe addressed to donors and people who try to commercialize the localization of the software. Is that what we think that the localization, first of all, is adaptation something for local use. So that not only refers to just the pure language translation, but the scope of the localization is much more wider. So it covers also issues like local customs and morals and content, etc. So we learned that you have to be very careful choosing what kind of localization should be actually undertaken, what kind of applications, languages should be chosen, how to make sure that this whole process will be sustainable. So basically spending money on a commercial localization of software doesn't make much sense if community is not involved. So there's, again, community issue here. And how to make that this localization will keep certain standards of coding, language, maintenance, support, manuals, etc. And how long it should take and how much should it cost, basically. The last one, a distribution. There's a huge demand from developing countries to make their own distributions, but there's very small awareness of actually how difficult it is to keep updated distribution and how actually it is to make it successful and useful. So we work with Debian NP people in several occasions, and what we learn from them and having discussions with them, that actually the most important things is to connect basically developers and geeks with people who can promote, deploy, test, and serve certain services, and it's helped to get them together and find context for the distribution, and actually try to find local equivalents of certain approaches so they don't have to reinvent the wheel, basically. And another lesson is mapping. What we discover working in developing countries, that there are certain things, certain experiences that you can't Google and can't crawl for. And there's certain knowledge that is within the people's heads, and sometimes the best thing to do is to just meet those people and map them physically and see what kind of projects they do. And in many cases, actually, there's a lot of replications going on, and you can avoid that as well. And I think I should shut up right now. So thank you very much.